No. I'm Jonathan Capehart, here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. In 2004, only 9,000 Nevadans participated in their state's caucus, but tomorrow all eyes will be on the Silver State. Joining me now to explain which issues matter most to voters in Nevada is Molly Ball, a political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm pleased to welcome her to the show today. Thanks for coming on, Molly.
Thank you so much for having me.
So am I pronouncing Nevada correctly?
Yes,
close?
You are.
Close enough?
At least the way the Anglos pronounce it. We do have a large Hispanic population that would say it the other way.
The other way being?
Nevada.
Okay. So how do Nevada's caucuses work? When will voters actually caucus tomorrow?
It depends if you're a Democrat or a Republican. The Republican caucuses haven't gotten as much attention because there's also a primary in South Carolina tomorrow. But the Republican caucuses are at 9 in the morning, and the Democratic caucuses are at 11 a.m.
Is it similar to Iowa's rules? Does each party vote differently?
It is pretty much identical to Iowa's rules, which means the two parties do vote differently. The Republican caucus is more like a straw poll after a party meeting, whereas the Democratic caucus is this complicated system of apportionment and reapportionment of delegates.
And also in Iowa, you at least among the Democrats, I believe, you go into a room and you huddle with your like-minded Clintonites or Obamanistas and Edwards folks, and if they don't reach a certain threshold, then they can go to whomever they want. Is that
exactly
right?
Yep, that's exactly how it works for us.
Now, apparently, the Democratic caucus has created special precincts. Why is that?
Yeah, and this was done, the work to start this was done more than a year ago. It's just now that it's become controversial. They created these 9 what are called at-large precincts, and this is something Iowa does not have. They are on the Las Vegas Strip, and they were created so that workers could have a place to go and therefore have to take less time off work than they might have to go to the precincts in their home neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
The reasoning was that, Las Vegas is pretty unique. Even though the caucus is on a Saturday, we have a 24-hour economy
mm-hmm.
and a large number of people working on the Las Vegas Strip. Part of the reason Nevada was chosen by the DNC to have a caucus was because of the large percentage of the working population who are union members.
Mm-hmm.
And most workers, not all, but most workers on the Las Vegas Strip are unionized or members of the culinary union. And so this gives them a chance to have a voice. Again, some culinary workers still can't take off work the hour or hour and a half it takes to caucus, even at one of these more convenient precincts.
Yeah, Molly, I was going to ask you, in a 24-hour economy, particularly in those casinos, how are workers going to convince their bosses to let them go off the floor for an hour, 2 hours to caucus for their favorite candidate?
Well, it's being worked out on an individual basis. All of the, at least the union casinos, have been working with their workers to make sure all the shifts get covered. It's a very busy weekend. It's a 3-day weekend because Monday is Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got NFL playoffs, although that's on Sunday. So there's going to be a lot of people in Las Vegas this weekend, and they still have to run their businesses. However, right. they're pretty confident that there are enough workers who are Republicans or aren't eligible to vote or just aren't interested, that they can cover shifts with those people so that the people who really want to go can go and caucus.
So, Molly, so Hillary Clinton's supporters filed a lawsuit challenging the creation of these precincts. Why did they do that?
Well, and it's not officially affiliated with the Clinton campaign, and in fact, some of the people involved with the lawsuit are also have links to John Edwards. But it was the Nevada Teachers Union whose members have some links to people who have links to Clinton. And the claim in the lawsuit essentially was that it's not fair that the workers on the Strip get this special way to caucus, but workers elsewhere don't. For example, for the Teachers Union, their custodians, a lot of the caucus sites are schools, and the custodians will have to work during the caucus, and they don't have an opportunity to go caucus in their home precincts. They don't have a special place they can go that's near where they're working.
Why did Nevada choose a caucus versus a primary?
This is something that's been in state law for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, the Democrats had a caucus 4 years ago, although it was a much smaller endeavor, many fewer caucus sites, 17 versus 500. And it was at a time when the question was basically moot. We basically knew that John Kerry was the Democratic nominee. The Republicans never really had any nominating process at all. They didn't have caucuses or anything else.
Hmm.
They just basically didn't have a say. They just picked delegates to the conventions. But I think the reasoning is that this is an internal party process that the parties are in charge of and doesn't cost the state any money. There are a lot of problems with the caucus process, a lot of people who aren't able to participate in it, and that's drawn a lot of complaints, and there is a movement afoot to try to get the state law changed and create a primary, but that would be something that would have to be run by the state, administered by the state, and funded by the state, and we are in a pretty sticky financial situation at the state level in Nevada as it is.
So moving the caucus up early into the process, has that been a success so far in Nevada, you think?
Well, it depends what your definition of success is. If the Democratic Party wanted to do it so that the candidates would have to talk to parts of America that weren't, the snowbound farmers who almost exclusively populate Iowa and New Hampshire, they wanted a place that they believed was more reflective of America's diversity. They wanted to make inroads in the Intermountain West, where the changing demographics and growing population may, they hope, give Democrats a chance to turn some red states blue. So for all those reasons, they wanted the presidential candidates to come out here, be organizing people on the ground, get people involved, and get people registered as Democrats, and hopefully that will help them in November.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if that's a success basically in November, but it certainly has gotten a lot of attention and gotten a lot of people working and interested and drawn a lot of attention.
Now, have the candidates, all of the candidates, Democrats and Republicans, have they focused on the cities like Las Vegas and Reno, or have they gone into rural areas of the state?
They really have gone to some of the rural areas. Now, the Republicans have not been here very much at all, with the exception of Mitt Romney, who is in northern and rural Nevada today, and will be back in Las Vegas tomorrow and was in Las Vegas yesterday. Most of the Republicans have been distracted by Michigan and South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
Whereas the Democrats didn't compete in Michigan and have another week until South Carolina. And so we haven't seen a lot of the Republican candidates, but the Democratic candidates have gone to parts of the state that have pretty much never seen a Democrat before. These very rural areas, places like Elko, Nevada, where Bush won the last election by, I believe, a 4-1 margin, and they haven't seen any presidential candidate until Bill Richardson visited last year. They hadn't seen any presidential candidate, they said, in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is there today. Romney is there, Clinton is there, and Obama is there today.
Wow, taking up all the oxygen in Nevada, it seems. I'm Jonathan Capehart.
There are enough people in Elko.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in for Leonard Lope today, and I'm speaking with Molly Ball, a political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as part of our States of the Union series, and we're focused on Nevada, which has its caucuses tomorrow. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. What are the issues that are the most important issues facing Nevada at the moment?
Yeah, well, we actually have a new poll out just today, which people can find on our website, reviewjournal.com. And when we polled people that our pollster considers likely caucus goers, the Democrats now are saying that the economy is their top issue, with almost a third of them picking that as their top issue. And Iraq has now retreated to second place with only 20%, followed by health care. On the Republican side, national security, the economy, and immigration are basically in a three-way tie. So you see with partisan base voters everywhere, pretty much the top issues are the same. They're the national issues. These are people running for national office.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some state-level issues, that are particular to us here. I think you mentioned before home foreclosures. Nevada has the highest foreclosure rate in the nation, and at a time when the economy is more and more a subject of conversation, the candidates, especially the Democratic candidates, have come out here and talked about the economy, presented their economic stimulus plans, and walked through neighborhoods talking to people about their mortgages. There's also the issue of Yucca Mountain, the proposed nuclear waste repository, which all of the Democrats have come out against. And we have Hillary Clinton airing radio ads saying that she is better on this issue than the other candidates.
Now, you were at the beginning of our conversation, you talked about the state's budget problems. And as you just mentioned, the economy is now the number one issue on voters' minds. Now, Nevada only has a tax on gambling receipts, and you're facing a major budget shortfall. Is there any talk of putting any more taxes in place, instituting more taxes?
That is a whole minefield that you can wade into on that issue. Couple things.
Wade on in, Molly.
Sure. Well, in addition to the gaming tax, there is a pretty high sales tax, and there are some other miscellaneous taxes and fees on banks, for example. But there is no state income tax on individuals or businesses.
Wow.
There are also property taxes. And the state now, largely because of shortfalls in the projected sales taxes, not the other kinds of taxes, the state now is facing a big budget shortfall, and the governor is trying to make cuts.
How big is the budget shortfall, by the way?
You know, it's hard to keep track of.
It fluctuates like the market.
It actually does, you know, and since it's a projected shortfall, we don't actually know what it'll end up being.
Mm-hmm.
But it's significant. It's several hundred million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
This is a governor who was elected on a platform of not raising taxes. That was almost literally his entire campaign platform: I will not raise your taxes.
Wow.
And so he is clinging to that pledge, and the legislature is not in session for another year and a half, and so the teachers' union is circulating a petition, or has circulated a petition, to put on the ballot a measure where voters would decide whether to raise the gaming tax from 6.25% to, I believe, 9.25%. The gaming industry is opposed to this, says everybody should put in their fair share and not just depend on one industry.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Yucca Mountain and then also unions. So Yucca Mountain, we've been talking about, we meaning the in the national conversation, talking about Yucca Mountain for years, and it seems to have been stalled in one manner or another. Who is behind stalling Yucca Mountain? And why is this
delegation.
Such a, and why is this such a big deal for Nevada?
Well, by a pretty overwhelming margin, when Nevadans are asked about Yucca Mountain, they don't want it. There are various scientific problems that have been discovered with the site a couple of years ago. Some government agencies were found to have falsified some of the scientific results. There is still a radiation standard that needs to be created, and government has fallen behind on that. Things like that.
And we should tell our listeners who probably might not know, Yucca Mountain is where, I guess, under the Reagan administration, it was chosen as a depository site for nuclear waste.
Right. So spent fuel rods from nuclear power plants all over the country would be brought to this place about 100 miles from Las Vegas on trains, and the opponents of Yucca Mountain say those trains would be vulnerable to accidents or terrorist attacks, and they're full of radioactive material. There are some earthquake fault lines that run under Yucca Mountain. The tunnel's already been built, but the Nevada delegation has fought very hard to stop it, and now that our senior senator, Harry Reid, is the Senate Majority Leader, he has a little bit more clout to make sure that it doesn't happen, and that's been the tactic: is to stall it, to try to cut off funding for it. There is the Bush administration is not interested in stopping the project, so the congressional delegation is just working as hard as they can to not let it take steps forward.
Mm-hmm. We're running out of time, Molly. I have so many questions, but I want to get you to talk about, you know, Nevada has been, the presidential election has been pretty close there in recent years. Bush won it 50-46 against Gore in 2000, and then in 2004, he got 50% of the vote, but Kerry got 48. So how has the political scene in Nevada changed since 2004, real fast?
Gosh, Nevada's been a real bellwether state. We also voted for Clinton twice. We voted for the winner of every presidential election except Carter. So it's a swing state. It's been a swing state for a long time. It'll continue to be a swing state, and it's growing very fast. That's how things have changed and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And what role do the unions play in all of that, or do they?
Yeah, the unions are, I think, as they are nationally, a big get-out-the-vote machine for the Democrats. The difference is that the unions in Nevada are growing, whereas the unions everywhere else are pretty much shrinking.
Mm-hmm. And how fast is Nevada growing these days? I heard it's exponential.
It really is. We've been the fastest growing state, with the exception of one year, for about 20 years. And now the Las Vegas area is nearly 2 million people. And I've heard it's something like a net gain of about 4,000 residents per month.
Wow. Well, on that mind-blowing note, Molly Ball, of the Las Vegas political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.